T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
When it's time to party, we will party hard.
It's Buffalo Bills Football Friday.
You got to keep working, man, because you haven't done a whole lot yet. It is exciting, but, you know, us, we're still hungry, you know. It's a good feeling on Sunday after the game and Monday when you do get a victory, and it kind of fuels you to want more. So, you know, it is exciting, but we're excited to continue to try to pull some victories.
This is a real fascinating game from a Buffalo standpoint, just because they are favored by 6. They've been favored by 6 or more in the first 3 weeks of the regular season. This is just the second time in the last decade. These are expectations that Buffalo usually doesn't see, and they're seeing a Cincinnati team that has really, really struggled.
I don't worry a little bit about the Bengals, because I saw them in the opener against Seattle, and even though they laid an egg against San Francisco, they're a little bit better than I anticipated. I mean, the things that look a little bit better is that Zach Taylor and Andy Dalton look like a winning combination. The coach really puts the quarterback in a good position to win, but the problem that they have is their offensive line's terrible, so that can benefit the Bills, because, you know, remember, Arizona Williams, the first round picks out for the season. Cordy Glenn, the former Bill, he's got concussion protocol. The first round center they drafted last year has so hurt that he's now a backup. So bad that Andre Smith, the 2009 first round right tackle from the Bengals, he's now playing left tackle for the second game in his life.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
It's great. Just making me feel better. It is Football Friday, brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino, official casino of the Buffalo Bills. Welcome to the home opener. You had to wait a couple weeks. Then the big story, of course, will the Bills get to a 3-0 start for the first time since 2011? There are many other stories to get to. Devin Singletary didn't practice again yesterday. We'll see what happens at running back on Sunday. Josh Allen's off to a good start. Will that continue? John Brown having a tremendous first two games of his Bills career. We can talk about the passing offense and what the attack plan might be against the Bengals defense. That and more over the course of the show. Good morning, sir. How are you? Happy Football Friday.
I'm good. I'm coming in glad that the Bills are not the Titans or the Jaguars.
I did not watch the whole game last night. I was like Tom Brady. I turned off the game. How about that? Me and the greatest of all time have something in common. Yeah, the Titans offensive line looks bad.
It
is a nice way to put it.
Not just that, but these teams look like they're playing in 1994. It's a lot of slamming the running back into the line.
Yeah.
There was a great stat on Leonard Fournette's night. He ends up with 14 carries for 66 yards.
Yeah.
He had one run of 69 yards.
Oh, really? I didn't see that one.
So he had one run get loose and 13 carries that amounted to minus 3 yards.
He had a nice run to start the game, but it was a holding call.
Well, you get that one run, and I'm just glad that that's not the Bills. I'm glad that we're not sitting here today like the Jaguars are under Doug Marrone, where one of their touchdowns comes because Tennessee muffed a punt.
Mm-hmm. They drive started
and
like
they
the
just
seven, yeah.
slam the ball into the line of scrimmage relentlessly and walk off that field and say, "Go in the right direction, fellas."
Hey, the kid threw 2 touchdown passes.
Hey, I'm not mad at him. I think he's okay.
He threw a nice ball, from what I saw last night.
Yeah, in his second start, he's got 2 touchdowns, 200 yards on an offense that does exactly what I was just laying out. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody's putting up big numbers in a Doug Marrone offense from a passing standpoint. So,
which is odd, because the guy who's the offensive coordinator came from had a background of successful passing offenses, John DeFilippo. And actually, I guess what? Got fired in Minnesota because Mike Zimmer wanted him to run the ball more, and he didn't like his offensive coordinator calling so many pass plays. And he ends up in Jacksonville, where you'd think they really don't want to throw the ball. It's kind of odd. I liked what I saw from Minshew. I like I said, I thought he threw a really nice, his first touchdown pass, or was it second? I forget. Like a 25, 30-yard touchdown. It was a nice ball. He threw some really nice passes last night. They should let him throw the ball more. Because all teams do is just stack the box against Leonard Fournette, and he never goes anywhere.
They only stack the box because Doug Marrone coaches an offense that stacks the box. You know, I was having a conversation about this with a friend. Stacking the box is directly a result of your personnel. The NFL has kind of figured this out. It's one of the things that you might see from the Bengals. They actually do run it out of the spread a little bit more than stacking the box. Because of the Zach Taylor thing from Sean McVay, So it's just, it's amazing. You've got coaches that are working smarter and coaches that still think that bringing more people in, not even just on goal line plays. Mm-hmm. If you get, Leonard Fournette has spent his career running into brick walls, and it's not because he's so good.
Yeah.
It's because his offenses continue to do that to him.
Well, it's nice to see the Bills' offense evolve into a passing game, evolve into spreading it out, right? I mean, they still use big people. They still use two tight ends, two backs, whatever, but sometimes they'll take one of the backs, DeMarco, and put him out wide.
And what does that do?
They've been using a lot of empty sets, too. They're just opening the field up.
It's funny. You want to run the ball. You can say, well, you need the fullback in there. If you put the fullback out wide and somebody goes with him.
Taking a linebacker.
Mission
out.
Accomplished. Now right. I've got more room for my running back. Right. So that even that concept, like, I'm good. I'm in a good spot with this Bills offense.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Because I think we're seeing things from it, giving you reasons to believe like they actually could put together a real passing game and put together a really good offense. You know, and the young quarterback's top 250 passing yards in the first two games of the season. Might be able to do it again on Sunday. It's a good defensive line they're going to go up against, but you know the back seven are questionable. I say seven because they were showing five defensive linemen against San Francisco. Anyway, the back end of Cincinnati is questionable, so I'm curious to see what the approach is. The Bills have been not shy about throwing the ball. We'll see what happens on Sunday. Maybe if Singletary doesn't play, it's another reason to make sure you throw the ball against the Bengals on Sunday. I'm not sure how much you'd be relying on Frank Gore and TJ Yeldon to help you run the ball to victory on Sunday. So I'm very, very happy with Josh Allen. Very happy with the offense. I like what I've seen. I like the new weapons. The offensive line is better, and it's allowing the Bills to be a little bit more creative. It's allowing Brian Daboll to be more creative on the offensive side of the ball, which is nice compared to what we've been living with for quite some time around here. I think it'll continue Sunday. I would expect they'll have success again throwing the football against that defense.
Which is apparently not very good.
As long as the Bills' offensive line holds up. I mean, I think the one area of strength for the Bengals is their D-line. You know, they still have Geno Atkins, obviously, and Carlos Dunlap and guys up front. So as long as the Bills' offensive line holds up against their defensive line, you know, they should have success throwing the football.
Piece of cake.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go piece of cake, but I feel really good about this. Look, this is a big part of the schedule here. Five of the next six games are at home. You know, beat Cincinnati, beat Miami, beat Washington. There should be three wins in that five game stretch.
You've got to lock in Miami,
right?
That's one that we. Yeah, I mean, as we treat games like Washington and Cincinnati as don't trip over yourself, Miami is the lock of locks.
It has to be.
Will they be a 20-point favorite?
I don't think the Bills would be a 20-point favorite.
They're turning to Josh Rosen.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is...
Poor kid.
It's right. It's sad news for anybody.
Hey, Josh, the Lions are in the Coliseum. Here's no weapons. Go. Yeah. Fight the Lions. Right. We're not giving you anything.
Nothing. Yeah. Not only that, but we're going to put, you know, tie red meat around your neck, whatever. It is sad.
Yeah, it is.
I feel good for Fitz. Congratulations, Fitz. You got out alive.
Yeah, right.
That's one thing about like tanking in hockey versus tanking in football. Tanking in hockey... You're leaving your goaltender out to dry, but he's not going to get hurt by all the goals that he gives up.
Right.
Whereas the guys in football, you are honestly sending one player out there to be destroyed.
Yeah. Well, if you can't block for him and guys can't get open, it really puts the quarterback in a difficult spot. So, yes, I feel bad for Josh Rosen now that he's the starter for Sunday in Dallas because this is not probably. It's worse than where he was last year in Arizona.
I've been working up a Josh Rosen joke/tweet. Been working on it a little bit. I mean, haven't sent it yet. I don't know the right exact moment. Want me to work on it for you? I want to tell you what you want. You want to hear it?
Is this tweets you didn't send
back? It is tweets I didn't send. It's a little bit about his scouting report and all that. I'll get to it later.
Maybe he'll get into that business world sooner than he thought.
Well, all right, I'll give it to you. I've been workshopping it. It's Josh Rosen being thrust into a situation where circumstances beyond his control work against his upward mobility, and the establishment declares it's about his attitude, means the scouting report of him being a millennial is dead on.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Social commentary.
That's a heavy-duty tweet, yes. That's deep, man. That's a heavy-duty tweet.
Mix in some social
commentary. Poor guy. Yeah.
Poor guy, though. Right.
But,
I mean, what are you supposed to do?
That's Josh Allen or Josh Rosen. We're into Josh Allen in the game on Sunday, and I think Bills fans are feeling good about this one. I think if you're nervous, it's the whole, you know, New England's on the other side and it's Cincinnati. I don't worry about that at all. I'm not worried about them lacking focus. We talked about it this week with Sal. I don't think if they lose the football game, it won't be because they weren't paying attention to Cincinnati this week. The team hasn't really accomplished anything. I'm really not worried about them looking past anyone. So I do. I like there are a lot of things about this matchup. My biggest question is, at this point, is Devin Singletary going to play? Right now, it doesn't look like it. Since he has not practiced the last couple days, we'll see. Sean McDermott's on with us around 9:15 this morning. We'll see if there's any update. So if he doesn't play, what's the plan? You know, how much how many carries does Gore play? What is Yeldon's role on Sunday? What do they do for the running game? Which, by the way, we just talked about the passing game for what it's worth. Last week, you heard one of the clips in the open of the show. The San Francisco 49ers ran all over Cincinnati last week with their number three and number four running backs. Their first two guys were hurt. And the third and fourth guys combined for over 250 yards rushing last week. So I'm interested to see what the plan of attack is.
Well, it's too bad we don't get to see Singletary because he might have lit it up. Might have been his coming out party.
I wouldn't think he's playing Sunday, right? If he hasn't practiced at all to this point. And, you know, I think you can beat the Bengals even if Devin Singletary doesn't play.
Sure.
You wouldn't think there'd be a need to rush the guy out on the field and risk additional injury. You'd sit him out, let him rest another week and wait for the New England game.
But it could have been his moment in the spotlight, on the scene, going into the New England game after his first 100-yard rushing game, because if he got out on the edge the way he has so far in his career, then that could have been nice.
That's all right. He'll have the big game against New England, and then Patriots fans will be going, who's Devin Singletary?
I wouldn't play him against New England. I already wouldn't play him against
because
New England.
Oh, because of the
It's a hamstring.
Injury?
Yeah. If it's a hamstring, you know, sometimes I'm not the trainer and I'm not actually looking at it, but just – it wouldn't surprise me at all. That's what I should say. If he's out against New England and even Tennessee,
well, then you're at the bye.
Right. Yeah. You want him to be healthy. You don't want to put him out there before you have to. You probably feel a certain level of confidence in Frank Gore, for sure. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how T.J. Yeldon holds up.
Right. That's why I think it is interesting to see what the plan of attack is. The run-pass balance, but again, how many carries? Now, Frank Gore, in terms of yards per carry, has not really looked that good, quite honestly. And you'd think against this Bengals defense, with the issues they have in the second level, their linebackers have really been bad. There have been missed tackles. I mean, read some of the stories about their game against the Niners. It's missed tackles. It's blown assignments. San Francisco's running all these misdirection plays, and the Bengals look like they've never seen misdirection plays before. So I am interested to see what Brian Daboll does. Perhaps he feels that, you know, they need to run the ball a little bit more because that's a weakness for Cincinnati. So I'd like to see Gore get going. He has not been that good so far. And Yeldon, does he have a carry yet?
No, I don't think so.
Right, through two games? So I would assume he's going to get some chance to run the football on Sunday. Maybe DeMarco gets a handful of carries, too, since Singletary's out.
When we talked about this.
You playing DeMarco on your fantasy team Sunday?
I was going to say, when Sal told us that they might throw the ball to Pat DeMarco, I thought, all right, let's all calm down a minute here. It's just
wide receiver screen to Pat DeMarco.
That kind of did happen.
Yeah, they tried it, didn't they, already this season?
Yeah, I wouldn't quite call it a screen, but whatever it was. Yeah, they just kind of threw a quick little
quick
dart
hit
over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
No, you don't want that?
I'm telling you right now, I'm feeling really good about how they look like a modern offense, and if they start throwing the ball to a fullback that is not – I'm not on board.
Maybe this is the game where they finally hit some deep balls, you know? Like you talked about throwing it right on the very first play of the game on Sunday. They have not – had to. They've tried it. It hasn't been. I shouldn't say it hasn't been there. Brown was open last week and they didn't hit it.
Or the first possession, not just necessarily the first play, but early.
Yeah.
Go up top early. Wake everybody up.
Yeah. But against that secondary, too. Maybe this is the game where John Brown, Robert Foster can get open deep and Josh Allen can hit some big plays in this contest. So there's a lot of stuff offensively going through my mind in terms of what they might be able to do against Cincinnati, just based on what we've seen and heard about the Bengals from the first couple games. So but I would also, you know, I think John Brown, it's clear through the first two games of the season, this is not a landmark statement, that Josh Allen really loves John Brown and Cole Beasley. I mean, he has been targeting them. I'm going to guess maybe 50% of the targets to wide receivers so far have gone to John Brown and Cole Beasley. There's a trust factor. There's a confidence with those guys. They're proven NFL veteran wide receivers, and I would expect that to be continuing throughout the season. I think we'll see a little bit more over the time of Foster, McKenzie, Jones, but, boy, Brown and Beasley have paid immediate dividends, and I expect that to continue on Sunday. Clearly, Josh Allen loves throwing to those guys.
John Brown. John Ross, another one to worry about, too.
Yeah, he's a big matchup. I think that is the big matchup. I mean, the Bengals have not been able to run the ball. I mean, Joe Mixon's a talented running back, but they can't, for whatever reason, they haven't been able to run the ball. I think John Ross is the top weapon with A.J. Green probably not playing. That's the guy you look at. And Sal's going to be on with us at 7. I wonder, the Bills don't typically move Trey White around, although actually he's limited, so hopefully he can play. If he does, they don't typically move him around. I wonder if they try that against John Ross. He's leading the league in receiving yards through two games.
I was going to say, his numbers, he's got more receiving yards in two games than he had in his career.
Wow.
Total.
He's got like 270 yards, I think. Something.
Last year, he was targeted 58 times for 210 total yards. Catch percentage was below 50%. Yards per reception, 10.
Wow.
This year, it's 24.5.
Mm-hmm.
So he is definitely a guy to look out for because he's still young in the league. And finally, here's an example of a coach unlocking a player, right? He plays with the Bengals. You knew he had ability, but Marvin Lewis and that offense, they were never really doing anything with him. I saw, it might have been Joe Goodberry. Somebody tweeted about it that Marvin Lewis used to bench John Brown. He'd fumble the ball.
John Ross. Yeah.
Sorry, John Ross. I'm going to do that all day today. John Ross had a fumble and then would be benched. Whereas Zach Taylor, I think he might have fumbled also. Zach Taylor says, forget about it. Let's just keep targeting him. And they've thrown him the ball 10 times per game in two games.
And he's their top weapon.
Which is, of course, the smart thing to do. You know, you don't punish the guy that fumbled the ball, especially if he's a guy that makes you better. You just keep feeding him. Right. And he might be the one or two thing. They're not much to worry about with Cincinnati.
He's the top guy.
He is. Yeah, I Tyler think so. Boyd's
he's
good.
Having a good year too.
Yep.
Boyd's got 18 catches in two games. So I think they're and if you know, if Eifert's healthy, he's been on a little bit of a pitch count, but their skill players are talented. It's just you heard John Clayton, who was on with Shopin the Bulldog yesterday. Their offensive line's a mess. You know, they're playing their backup left tackle. They're probably playing their backup left guard. So they're having some issues up front, but in terms of talent at the skill spots, they have talent there, and Andy Dalton can throw the football. He's had a couple good games in terms of passing. So, yeah, John Ross, who matches up on him? If Trey White can't play Sunday, that could be problematic.
It could be
for
problematic.
The Bills, because who's going to take John Ross? Who's the other cornerback, and how do you handle John Ross and Tyler Boyd in their passing game? But you know what, Jeremy? I still love the Bills' pass rush against that offensive line. You know, I'm sure Dalton's going to try and get the ball out fast because I think the Bills should win the matchup of their front against the Cincinnati front, and maybe that means pressure on Dalton. Maybe not necessarily sacks, but pressure. The Bills have been really good at batting passes at the line. I do like that matchup to hopefully counterbalance the John Ross and Tyler Boyd in their passing game.
Sorry, I'm just watching on SportsCenter. Pointing out all the quarterbacks to make their first career starts against Tom Brady.
How many guys? The Bills are going to be in here twice.
Who did it?
Tyrod? EJ? Here we go. Okay, watch. Here
EJ.
Comes. EJ and then Tyrod.
Tyrod, too. Yeah, that's right. Neither of them did too terribly.
No, in fact, they point out in these clips, the Bills were down double digits in EJ's game, and Gostkowski beat him at the end with the field goal. The Bills were getting blown
that's
out
right.
in the Tyrod Taylor game. It says an 8-point loss.
But they were down by 20.
They were down like three scores in the fourth quarter,
right,
I think.
Right, right. How many quarterbacks are making their first start this week? Mason Rudolph, right?
Minshew last night.
Gardner Minshew. Taysom Hill could.
Unless he starts Bridgewater.
Right, but it might be
could
Taysom
be
Hill.
Yeah.
Who else is out there? Daniel Jones, of course.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Luke Falk? Has he made a start before?
No. Oh, gosh, no, that's right. He wouldn't have made a start.
Josh Rosen?
He started before.
Oh, you're right. He started
Arizona,
last year.
Yeah. So what's that, 3-4 guys?
And New England plays the Jets. That's right. They play Luke Falk.
Yeah, Falk's never he's never started before.
I'll tell you one way to have it feel like
you're Luke Falk first start. Hey, New England.
Yeah, right. Hey, Rosen's got Dallas.
Yeah, on the road. Yeah, right? that'll be ugly.
One way to feel like your quarterback is rising up the ranks in the quarterback rankings is for all of the old established good ones to retire or get hurt. You know, you might look at Josh Allen and say, is he better than Mariota? I mean, maybe. Yeah. Mariota was not good
Mariota
last night.
Mariota is, you know where he is? I think he's almost in like Ryan Tannehill category for me, oddly, because Tannehill's his backup. Mariota's what, year five?
Yeah.
What? I mean, if you're in year five and you're still wondering, hey, is Mariota good? Then the answer is no, he isn't.
No, probably not. He does have 4 touchdowns, no picks, but only 400 yards this year.
Yeah.
Which is not a lot.
He got crushed last night. He was getting sacked all night long, and although he
I'm sorry, those were his stats after two games, not after
that
three.
Was before last
yeah,
night.
Before last yeah. night. Yeah, I mean, Allen continues to move up the board a little bit here and there, but at the same time, Daniel Jones is now in the mix, and so is Gardner Minshew, who I would say for the second appearance, second start of his career for a, what was he, a
sixth round pick,
second start of his career. The guy's decisive with the football.
Yeah.
He looks okay.
And he had nice touch from what I saw. He had a good touch on his passes. Like I said, the one touchdown pass was perfectly placed down the left sideline. He seemed to have good poise. There were a lot of positives that I saw last night. And again, a little bit of action. I did not watch the entire football game. I think that's one of the, you know, the stories of the NFL is the, you know, the gradual changing of the guard here.
Will we get one of those seasons where when you get to the playoffs, you say, look at the quarterbacks who are here, sure, and it's because of all the injuries?
Yeah. Yeah, well, look at what's happened so far, right? I mean, throwing Luck retiring, you know, so Brissett's now the starter in Indianapolis. There's so much changeover, and there's this young guard of quarterbacks, Josh Allen in there, Baker Mayfield, Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff. I suppose you could throw in Carson Wentz. There's this gradual turnover in quarterbacks, and I think that as the season goes on is going to be one of the big stories, that the big-name guys are retiring, they're petering out, so to speak, and that the young guys are now, you know, the next group of quarterbacks has emerged here in the National Football League. And knock on wood, that'll include Josh Allen. It is Football Friday, Bills fans. You're waking up this morning and your first thought should be, hey, you know what? I want to talk about the game with Jeremy and Howard. 803-0550 to join us. Give us your prediction on Sunday. What do you think? You want to talk keys to the game? You want to tell us how you're feeling about this? You're worried? You're positive? Whatever the case may be. Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino brings you Football Friday. It is the official casino of the Buffalo Bills. You can join us at 803-0550 on the show today. First hour is a great hour to get in. We got open phones the whole hour. We do have some guests coming up today. Sal's going to be with us at 7 o'clock. We're going to chat with Bills offensive lineman Deion Dawkins. He's going to join us this morning around 7:30. Murph with his Football Friday visit at 8:30. And Bills head coach Sean McDermott scheduled to join us around 9:15. That is all on the docket today. But we want to hear from you, too. So grab a line, share an opinion on the Bills Bengals on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is a real fascinating game from a Buffalo standpoint, just because they are favored by six. They've been favored by six or more in the first 3 weeks of the regular season. This is just the second time in the last decade. These are expectations that Buffalo usually doesn't see, and they're seeing a Cincinnati team that has really, really struggled. The one thing that I'm looking at in this game is I think the under 44 is a good play. It's up from 40.5. The under is 9-4 under Josh Allen. And when you look at the Bengals without A.J. Green have done a really, really bad job at scoring points.
That is Evan Abrams from the Action Network. I was show up in the Bulldog yesterday. If you missed the interview, it is available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. The Bills and the Bengals will play Sunday. We'll get to more on that in a moment. But there was football last night. The Bills' Week 5 opponent did not look good. Tennessee, after opening the season with a convincing win in Cleveland, have now dropped 2 in a row. Lost to Jacksonville last night 20-7. Gardner Minshew had a couple of touchdown passes. Both teams are 1-2. Jalen Ramsey told ESPN he expects to be traded before the Jaguars' next game. The Bills' injury report. Tyler Kroft re-injured himself. He was progressing nicely, practiced fully on Wednesday. then suffered an ankle injury in practice, was limited yesterday. Taron Johnson and Devin Singletary did not practice yesterday, both dealing with hamstring injuries. Andre Roberts and Trey White went on a limited basis. They seem to be trending in the right direction, according to Sean McDermott. Josh Rosen has been named the starter for Miami's game Sunday at Dallas, and the Dolphins picked up Taco Charlton off waivers from the Cowboys. Brandon Montour, hand injury, will miss the rest of the Sabres preseason. That preseason continues tonight in Toronto as the Sabres take on the Maple Leafs. We'll have the game here on WGR beginning at 6:45 with the pregame show. Ottawa and Thomas Chabot agree on an 8-year, $64 million contract. The Yanks beat the Angels and clinched the AL East, their first division title since 2012. Headlines brought to you by Pizza Hut. Order stuffed crust pizzas, Wing Street wings, and more at pizzahut.com. No one out pizzas the Hut.
I'm looking up the Beaufort wind scale because Aaron Minkowski says the weather will be nice. 70s for the tailgate, temperatures in the 80s, and they have a graphic that lists a gusty breeze. There will be a gusty breeze on Sunday. And the Beaufort wind scale does not include a gusty breeze. There's a light breeze, a gentle breeze, a moderate breeze, a fresh breeze, and a strong breeze. So I don't know how to act here. Please advise. What's the gusty breeze? Probably fresh?
What is a fresh breeze?
A fresh breeze.
Why is that different from a light breeze, a gusty breeze, a strong breeze?
I'm glad you asked. In a fresh breeze, branches of a moderate size will move and small trees begin to sway. In a moderate breeze, small trees, small branches begin to move. So it's the difference between moving and swaying.
But isn't fresh an odd term to put in there with light, strong, moderate, gusty? Like,
it's in between moderate and strong, fresh.
Yeah, it just...
I guess think that's right.
But those are all terms of strength or weaknesses. Light, moderate, strong, gusty. Fresh?
Fresh is, think about if you're scolding a child because he's being fresh,
yeah.
Right? He's been a little bit, he's acting up.
Okay.
Right? Somewhere between strong and moderate.
I was thinking about how, hey, those sheets smell fresh or are fresh.
Well, that's
sheets,
because a fresh breeze has blown through.
Okay. I just thought that was kind of odd to put fresh in there, but okay. So it's not, you don't have to worry about wind on Sunday. They still maybe, I forgot to check, they were calling for the possibility of rain after the game. So if you're sticking around after the game and you tailgate, you'll wait for the lots to clear out, you know, you might want to have a raincoat nearby in case there are some showers after the game.
Okay.
But you should be okay from 1 to 4.
I am advised.
One of the other things to watch for on Sunday is the other guys in the passing offense. John Brown, Cole Beasley have been the stalwarts in the passing game. We'll see. Talk to Sal about this a little bit. We saw a little bit of Isaiah McKenzie last week. He caught that flip pass for the touchdown. Haven't seen really much of anything from Robert Foster and even Zay Jones. Zay Jones had a big catch in the Jets game, but he hasn't been seeing the ball that much as well. Again, I think it's less about those three guys and more about the addition of Brown and Beasley, but we'll see if this on Sunday is a game where some of the other guys help out in terms of the passing offense. We'll see who actually, if Andre Roberts returns on Sunday, we'll see if any of those guys are actually inactive because of Roberts joining the team and playing on Sunday again, if he is cleared to play against the Cincinnati Bengals. If you're feeling good about the game, why? If you're worried about this game on Sunday, why? It is Football Friday, and we want to hear from you on the Bills and the Bengals. 803-0550 to join us, or 888-552-550. You should feel good about this game. It's a game they should win on Sunday. I think they're the better team. I think if you're worried about Cincinnati, there are a couple things to worry about. Andy Dalton and his top two receivers and their defensive line. And I think the story about the Bengals and your concerns end right there. And I think that's why the Bills would be favored to win, and I think that's why the Bills will win on Sunday. They have more talented players. They are the better football team overall.
The Bills' last win over the Bengals was in 2016. Do you remember anything of that game? Let's do a little Bengals memory lane here.
Well, I have a Bengals-related trivia for you later, but I don't want to use it now. I was going to use it with you and Sal at 7 o'clock.
I remember Jason Peters blocking a punt against the Bengals in Cincinnati.
There was a game.
There was a stretch where the Bills beat the Bengals all the time.
Yeah, and then Andy Dalton showed up, and they really don't beat him very much.
From 89 to 2010, they've won every single meeting.
Do you recall a game against the Bengals where the Bills had a fumble and returned it, and but it didn't count because they blew the whistle?
Yes. I think it was the same game that Stevie Johnson caught a ball, and they ruled it incomplete, and it would have been a catch to end the game. Instead, Cincinnati got the ball back and ended up winning.
Okay.
I remember the Bills being... what, 2-0 and going to Cincinnati, and Cincinnati was dead in the water, and they beat the Bills maybe around 2010. somewhere in that neighborhood.
I remember Trey White crying after a loss to the Bengals. A.J. Green had a couple plays against
him. Yeah, that would have been
low-scoring game.
2017,
right?
20-16, A.J. Green had a big day and beat Trey White twice.
Want to say maybe Charles Clay got hurt, didn't come back for the second half,
yes.
And the Bills, I thought for sure they were going to win that game, and they got done, and we're like, well, how did they lose that game?
Yeah. Okay, the Bills are 3-2 after that game. The Bengals 2-3. Yeah, A.J. Green had a 77-yard touchdown pass in the first quarter.
But then he had a big play to set up a touchdown.
He did. Joe Mixon had a 5-yard touchdown run.
Okay, and both were against Trey White, right?
Yep.
I think.
Yep.
Yeah. That was the first time we were like, wow, Trey White is super competitive. The guy was crying after the game.
A.J. Green had 189 yards receiving that day.
Yeah, it was, you know, a good, yeah, on two huge plays.
Yeah. 7 catches, and the big play was 77 yards.
Boy.
Other Bengals memories?
I am trying to recall
The AFC Championship game?
I wasn't here for that. I was living in Ohio at the time.
But for Bills fans, obviously a very big one.
The 88 game? Sure. There would have been... Why am I thinking? No, I don't. All of a sudden, I'm thinking about a night game against Cincinnati when Sam Weiss was coaching there. Where's Shope? I need Shope here. He remembers all this stuff. Other Bills, Bengals things. When was the Stevie Y So Serious shirt? That wasn't Cincinnati, was it? Was that Cincinnati?
Yes, it was.
It was. Okay.
Because someone tweeted us yesterday to point this out. That was when T.O. and Chad Johnson were on the same team as Batman and Robin.
Okay.
And Stevie did the Why So Serious.
Okay.
Show.
Yeah. So, yeah. Look at all the Bills-Bengals memories.
A lot of
Bills-Bengals
memories.
We never knew they were there. And now you have all this stuff.
Have you ever been to that stadium?
I have. Yes. Oh, no. Wait a minute. Have I been to the
Paul
new
Brown
stadium?
Stadium.
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
I would have been there. Yeah. I would have been there when I was at Empire. I'm pretty sure they would have been out of Riverfront by then.
How was Riverfront?
I was at Riverfront for a baseball. Riverfront was just, I mean, Riverfront was one of those cookie cutter, Three River Stadium in Pittsburgh, the Vet in Philly, whatever they called it in Philly. Those three stadiums were just devoid of personality. These just round, concrete, boring facilities that were created in the early 70s for baseball and football had no atmosphere, no environment, and really just blasé ballparks. I mean, it just, nothing. Paul Brown was a nicer facility. I don't remember much of it. It was only one time there for a Bills game. But I like the setup because the stadiums are downtown.
Yeah, it is nice.
You know, it's a little bit, reminds me a little bit of Pittsburgh that way. The stadiums are right downtown. I think they're
on the river.
Was it Ohio River?
Yep.
And it's a nice setup.
I would say quite possibly the coldest I've ever been at a football game was at a Cincinnati Bengals game.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think it would get that cold in Cincinnati.
I was at a Bengals-Steelers game when I was in college, and in the upper deck, you know, it's kind of like Buffalo this way. The upper deck is a lot colder because you are exposed in the wind a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it might have been the coldest I've ever been.
Why was a guy who went to college at Syracuse University in Cincinnati for a Bengals-Steelers game?
I think I was visiting my friend who lived in Columbus, and we decided, let's go to the Bengals game.
I thought maybe you guys got really drunk some Friday night and thought, hey, let's drive to Cincinnati, or Saturday night.
No.
Let's drive to Cincinnati.
I would not have driven 7 hours.
I'm just curious.
I've been to a couple random football games. The other one is Colts-Jets at the Meadowlands. Only time I ever went to the Meadowlands to see a football game was Jets-Colts.
Spur-of-the-moment trip?
Someone had tickets. In college, buddy and I, same friend. Just, all right, let's drive to New York. And I don't think it was a Sunday night game. It was a 4 o'clock game. We definitely drove back in the dark from New York that day.
Well, from Syracuse, what is it?
4 hours.
That's
not bad at all.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Right. Now it's probably a little quicker. The Bills playing the Bengals, and we are talking about it with you. Are you optimistic? Are you worried? If you're optimistic, why? If you're worried, why? You can let us know. Doug is optimistic because Josh Allen is the man. By the way, I noticed this week. I was bringing this up yesterday. I forgot. Josh Allen is now on the MVP betting odds board, according to betonline.ag. Hmm. He was off the board for MVP odds. Now he's in the group of players who are 80-1 odds for MVP.
I don't like the bet.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
The defense is too good.
Either. Yeah.
The defense is just too good. I mean, if you're going to win MVP as a quarterback, you have to put up monster stats.
Numbers, yeah.
Right? You can't be, not to say that Josh is just managing the game, but you can't win games 28-17 and 17-16. You have to be winning games 42-35.
Well, the top three quarterbacks for MVPs, Mahomes, Brady, Lamar Jackson,
okay,
who's putting up really good.
And I would
say
Lamar Jackson and Mahomes right now would be the leaders in the clubhouse, well mm-hmm. above Brady. I mean, yeah. Brady gets Antonio Brown. Brady has a defense that's really strong, just like the Bills.
Yep.
You know, MVP is about singling out one guy. And I just think it's not a great bet for Allen there because the Bills, at least to this point, don't put up enough points. And if your defense is just loaded and as good as the Bills is, it's tough to win it for a quarterback.
How about this? Kyler Murray's odds are better than Josh Allen's.
I think that makes sense.
Really?
I mean, does Arizona have a good defense?
No.
I mean, Kyler Murray would have to get them to the playoffs or get them to what?
500?
I mean, you can't win
NFL MVP. You can't win MVP if you don't. He's got to be in the playoffs.
Right. At quarterback, you can't do it.
He has to get them into a wild card game and have a really good year to be in that discussion, I think. Because Mahomes is going to put up stupid numbers.
That game this week.
Lamar Jackson looks like he might put up some great numbers this year, and they will probably win their division.
Can we flex that Chiefs-Ravens game away from this Bills game?
Right?
I'd like to watch
I'm mad about that.
Yeah.
I want to see that game. I'm not going to see a second of that football game. You know, I got to watch the Bills game. So, yeah, even if... you know, it's not like I can. I don't have Sunday Ticket, and I'm not going to turn on Red Zone channel because I got to watch the Bills game. It's just crazy. excuse me. Eric tweeted in, as much as I trust the process, for the past decade and a half, I've been conditioned to worry. So he's worried about the game on Sunday. Stop worrying. It's okay. You don't have to worry about games. Next tweet. I'm only worried if Trey White isn't going to play. Any chance Wade gets called up from practice squad if Singletary can't go? I would say no. I'm not expecting. I'm trying to remember the rules. He can get called up, right?
Wade?
Yeah, I remember there were special rules about him because of his status coming over from London and everything.
I'm pretty sure if he's on the practice squad, he can't be called up the entire year.
Okay, so that would rule that out.
If they use the exemption on him, that means he cannot play for them for the entire year.
And I don't think they would have called him up anyway, even if it was just a plain regular practice squad setting. I think they're going to make do with what they have this game, and it doesn't sound like they're going to add anybody.
I'm going to give you one tweet that is not the first time I've seen this, but it's something we have not yet brought up. Not to bring the down the day, but nobody around here is talking about how we have to stop New England from going to a fourth straight Super Bowl, because if they do...
Yeah, the Bills, yeah.
Is that a thing, you think, for a lot of Bills fans?
Honestly, I didn't even think about it until they mentioned it.
That it'd be their
fourth straight? Somebody mentioned it, yeah. I think during the New England-Pittsburgh game,
you really need them to lose.
That they could go to four straight.
I think that's something to watch.
Of course, they actually.
I mean, we've got lots of reasons to root against them.
Yeah, well, you just don't want New England in the Super Bowl because it ruins the Super Bowl. I'm tired of watching them on that game.
Definitely ruins the Super Bowl.
It's just not fun.
Remember how
it.
Bad last year's Super Bowl was?
It was boring.
It was terrible.
Yeah. Well, they were in it, and which was bad enough. And then as the game's playing out, you just think, the Rams are not going to score. Philadelphia ends up winning, but they were scoring. Even Atlanta, even though they blew the 28-3 lead, they're scoring. You're watching the Rams game going, they're not scoring. They're not getting into the end zone against these guys.
Yeah, you're watching the Rams and thinking, what happened to the Rams?
Yeah, where's your offense?
Where are they?
Right. So it was a slow, miserable Super Bowl watching those guys win again. Amy says she's 98% confident the Bills are going to win this game. There's like a 2% part of me that where this is the game where Cincinnati breaks out, rushes for over 200 yards, and they have their Billsy loss of the season. For what it's worth, the Bengals have, I'm going to say, like 60 yards rushing in the first two games. They are last in the league, and they have like ridiculously low rushing yard totals from the first two games. It is Football Friday, 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. You feeling good about Sunday? If so, why? If you're worried about Sunday, you can let us know why. Bills Bengals, we want to talk about it with you. Make sure you go to WGR550.com. Get in on a chance to win a Thursday night football viewing party for you and 10 of your friends at Fat Bob's Smokehouse. This will include two drink tickets, an appetizer buffet, and other great prizes. Fat Bob's Smokehouse, delicious barbecue, award-winning mac and cheese, and 22 beers on tap, 41 Virginia Place in Buffalo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Each team presents their own challenges. I think these guys play hard. I think each one of them individually presents their own challenges as well, but their effort's always there. And obviously Dunlap is a very tall, lanky guy who can swat a lot of balls. So I take care of him. And Gino's actually are obviously one of the best around that's been doing it for the last, you know, however many years. The other two guys are big. They got some big run stoppers. They got high effort guys, and it's going to be a challenge for us.
Spencer Long from the Bills. They're getting ready to take on the Bengals Sunday at the stadium. I know that, you know, if you're tailgating, you bring your food, right? You don't, you probably get all full before you go into the stadium, but I wanted to share with you, you know, me, my life is all about food. There are some new food items at the stadium this year to be aware of.
I'm interested.
At the concession stands, you will now find a Greek chicken wrap.
Okay, like that.
You will find a sampler bucket, which will include one of your favorites, pizza logs.
Okay.
Apple logs.
Oh.
Fries, chicken tenders, boneless bites, blue cheese, hot sauce, caramel sauce.
Okay.
Sampler bucket. I think any food item with bomber in it, I'm automatically in. They are now selling meatball bombers.
Okay.
3 2-ounce meatballs,
you know,
marinara, grated parmesan cheese. Mm.
I'm going to say this.
Love a meatball sub.
I don't eat enough meatball subs.
I love meatball subs are underrated.
I agree.
You never go into a sub shop with meatball subs on your mind, and then you order a meatball sub and go, yeah, I love meatball subs.
Meatball subs, yeah.
Yes, very underrated.
I should have one soon.
I have one maybe, I don't know, twice a year, and I hate myself for that. Beef on Weck Sidewinder Poutine.
Okay.
Kimmel Weck seasoned fries, shredded roast beef, horseradish cheese au jus, and scallions, and... This came up on our show a few. I actually tried it for the first time when I was in Los Angeles in May. Chicken and waffles. You can get hot honey chicken and waffles now. These are in the regular concession stands. There's some other new food items in the stadium clubs. If you're in there, if you have a suite or you're in a suite for the game, they've got some new food items in the suites. But these are all at the concession stands. New food items for your Buffalo Bills 2019 season. Get a meatball sub. You'll never regret it.
Thinking about it. Thinking about the beer options at the stadium. Where are we on beer? Pretty good, right? They've got some Buffalo local stuff where you can go buy some local beers.
You're asking me like I would know this.
I'm just
stuff.
Trying to remember from last year, and I wonder if it's gotten any better. The beer scene
you
at
know
the stadium.
What? That may I don't know if Andy Major would know that or not. I'm not sure if that's his territory.
They're listening, right?
Yeah.
He'll know.
All right. A little beer research for 8:15.
Yeah, just wondering.
In addition to, you know, Tailgate Village and all that other stuff. Adam tweeted in, woke up this morning, 4 things are for certain. Howard is changing his Titan pick to a Bills win.
It was there this week, wasn't it?
What did I do this week, Brayton?
Yeah, you had a win.
Did I have him beating the Titans? I almost called him Nashville.
That you did.
Oh, so there you go, Adam. I already did. I'm ahead of the game.
The only losses that you had were 2 to New England, 2 Cleveland, and Dallas and Baltimore.
All right.
Wow.
On Cleveland, I keep...
Anyway, he also said, we have the better Josh Allen. I'd much rather have Ed Oliver, and the Bills will win on Sunday. Those are Adam's 4 contributions.
I mean, Josh Allen, the pass rusher, still looks pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Quick thing on... Now I forgot what I was going to say. Cleveland. Yes, Cleveland. Sorry. I made this point a couple days ago. I'm going to make it again because someone wrote in about the Browns. That Browns game is going to be big. Brian tweeted in, the Browns schedule the next 5 games could end their season by November, which is great for teams that may need to get a wild card. Look at the 7 games after that, because their schedule is light at the end.
Right,
very light at the end. And it's,
what are they? They're 1-1, right?
Yeah. What a weird loss that is to the Titans. The Titans play what, the perfect game, and the Browns self-destruct in the opener, and the Titans win 43-13 after falling down 7-0.
Yeah,
the Titans
on the opening
just
drive.
Steamroll them.
Right.
And then the Titans are terrible right after that.
Lost a close game to Indianapolis, but at home to Jacoby Brissett.
Sure.
Well, in week 2, they lost at home to the Colts, and then last night.
Last night, they lose to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
The Titans look awful.
Yeah.
Good. It makes me think, could the Browns be last year's Saints? Right? Last year, the Saints, didn't they lose to the Bucs?
They got off to a rough start.
Really rough start.
They went a big winning streak.
Yep. I think... I'm just going to say it all year. Don't bury the Browns too soon. They could lose to the Rams. They could lose to the 49ers, who they play, the Patriots. But their schedule they are not going to be dead until they lose to the Bills. Until they lose that game to Buffalo, if these two teams are fighting for a wild card spot, don't bury them until that game. They could be two games back of the Bills, and the way the schedule ends, they could pass you.
You'd almost have to have them lose like at least four of those five games. And that would put them at, what, two and five?
2-5.
2-5 into that Bills. And they play Denver before the Bills, I think.
And they could still get to 10-6 because of the way their schedule looks.
I can't see them worst case scenario is 3-5 with the Bills coming into town. Because I believe they do play the Broncos before Buffalo, so they should beat them.
Save this. We're our ability to see the future is being
3-5, worst case scenario.
It's September 20th. The story of that game will be, you've got to put the Browns down.
Well, the Browns will be behind. They should be behind you in the standings.
They should be based on schedules, and you got to put them down.
Yeah. That's another team you can take care of in the wild card race, assuming Jacksonville and Tennessee, hopefully, are out of that wild card race by then. 803-0550 to join us this morning. It is Football Friday, brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino, the official casino of the Buffalo Bills. Sal Capaccio will be on the sidelines. He will join us next for his insight and the latest on the injury news, including Tyler Kroft injured again. It's coming up on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.